My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Welcome back to Radioland. Thank you for being a part of all of this. I often think of, you know, a lot of times about what am I going to get into on any particular episode without it, you know, being too, you know, too much thought that goes into this, obviously, as you can tell, completely unprepared, because you just never know what might cross my mind, or do I know what would cross my mind. And I usually try and think of something that, you know, one particular line to sort of set the tone for each episode of these podcasts. And this one actually kind of comes to this episode really kind of comes to me because it something I really kind of want to get into that hopefully you'll find somewhat amusing, very at the very least entertaining. The issue being the business of radio, which, you know, from Radioland is indicative of that topic. I know a lot of people seem to be fascinated by some of the inner workings of what goes on inside of a radio station. Or a cluster of stations, as the case may be, depending on where you are, who you work for, that kind of thing. So I figured I would take this episode and kind of lay some of the goofy stuff out there for you. Some of the things that happen. In particular here, as of the time this was recorded, a group of stations here in the Memphis area, owned by a company called Entercom, Entercom. They decided that it would be best if they took one of their stations and flipped the format, as it is called. They flipped the station. It doesn't mean to sell it, that's for sure. It just means to change what's on it, change its style, change its tone. You know, that sort of thing. I've seen it a bunch of times, and it's a very unusual phenomena that occurs in this business. The reason being is that, I mean, think about it. It is pretty much the only business that I can think of where the boss, the owner, comes in to the station one day, and he tells everybody there that they are no longer employed. I'm sorry, you're all gone. Because tomorrow we're going to be playing different music. It's really a very bizarre scenario that occurs. And it's somewhat unique to this business. You know, I mean, I know that there are other businesses where the boss comes in and says, all right, all of y'all are done. Good night, everybody. But that's just it. That when that happens in other businesses, that's indicative of a business going out of business. Sorry, we're closing our doors. Your services are no longer needed. As unfortunate as that scenario is, that's exactly what does happen every once in a while. And it is, you know, it's tragic. Now, in the radio business, the boss comes in and he says, all right, all of y'all are gone. We're going to be doing something different. And we're going in this is the line that they always like to use. We're going in a different direction. That was the line that was used on me, actually, when I was at Clear Channel. We're going in a different direction, Rick, and sorry, you're the odd man out. I'm sure that line's been played out to a lot of people out there. And I've had some great friends and colleagues in this industry that have endured that sort of thing. Pardon. And as a result of that, they find themselves in this place that they euphemistically refer to as the beach. Welcome to the beach, my friend. You've been kicked out of your cushy morning show job, and you were doing pretty well with it, and you're out on the beach. Well, and here's the thing, too, is that people that are that find themselves on the beach know this, that they know that there is a possibility, a very real possibility, that scenario will happen. When you put yourself in a position to be in morning drive or afternoon drive or in a, you know, in a position of I don't know, not responsibility, but as far as, you know, being a their lead entertainer, if you will, their lead presenter on their radio station, there is that possibility that you are one day going to go to your job and they're going to say bye-bye. Oddly enough, it usually happens around this time of year in the fall. September, October, November is usually what they refer to as firing season in the radio industry. It happens because of the next year's budgets have been completed and they're ready to, you know, exit everybody's contract at that point, and they can make a nice clean break. In this particular scenario here in Memphis, there's a radio station here called KQK. They were what they called themselves, an oldies station. And there's a really kind of a funny story, because I this is why what I wanted to bring up to you, is that shortly after I had left Clear Channel, I had been in conversation with Dan Barron. Now, Dan is the general manager of Intercom, and they actually were entertaining the idea of bringing me in as the program director for that radio station, KQK. This was back in March of 2011. They were actually to the point of, you know, interested in waiting out my non-compete and allowing me to come in. Now, Dan was in the process of dealing with his corporate people, as is usually the way it goes. Ultimately, I was not given the job, obviously. Although I think now that had I been given that job, I would probably have been fired this week. Oh, my goodness. So I'm not laughing at others' misfortunes. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody that goes into this job should understand that. And our good friend Steve Conley, who was the morning drive cat for KQK, is now on the beach. Yeah, at the time back in 2011, they had talked about turning their station into something a little more mainstream, a little more fun. They were trying to attract a different crowd, and they were looking to have somebody like me to come in there and kind of dress it up some. Which, you know, I would have, if I'd have been hired for that job, I may have taken it. I don't know. This is before Radio Memphis ever came to mind. So when this happened this week, and the oldies station, which is funny, they called themselves an oldies station, but they really only played classic rock. It was kind of silly. You know, they would go from Led Zeppelin to Queen to, you know, what I guess you could call that an oldies format. The Rolling Stones are an oldies band, if you want to get down to it. I mean, you can split hairs all you want to, but really, the format change that they have implied or have inflicted onto everybody now is that it is a country station, and they're going to this thing now of being called The Wolf. That's clever. You know, it's another marketing trick. They're going country. Rumor has it they're going to be trying to skew their audience a little bit more toward, they want to get more of a female listenership. I guess, you know, that's what they want to do. That's up to them, however they feel. I mean, there's so many theories and scientific phenomena that work, not phenomena, but scientific ideas, philosophies and experiments in this business about, you know, what attracts the most people and, you know, what do people really want to hear. And, you know, hell, even at Radio Memphis, I do the same thing. I mean, we're all guilty of it. It's not anything different or special by any means. Because, look, you know, you have to go into this business with a simple understanding that you're never going to impress everybody. You can't please everybody. Lincoln said that. You cannot please everybody all the time. All the best you can hope to achieve is to please some of the people some of the time. Wiser words never spoken before. And especially in this business, that's a good thing. That's the way it's supposed to be, I would gather. Nothing wrong with that by any means. You try to attract an audience. What we've done with Radio Memphis, for example, is that we have this kind of this niche crowd, as you're aware of. If you're not aware of it, I think you need to come find this radio station that I've built, radio-memphis.com. What we have done there is expand a little bit of our playlist. So we're not just rock and roll. We play some country. We play a lot of blues. We play a little bit of hip-hop. We have some soul, very little jazz, because there's not much of a jazz scene here. But we play all these different formats, and everything that's in common with each other here on this is that they're all from this area. All these artists are from this area. And that's the balance that we attempt to achieve each and every time we go on the air. That's a good thing. Now KQK, The Wolf, 94.1, The Wolf, or whatever they're going to do, hell. They have this idea that that country music is going to work. So they had to go back to all of their jocks and say, so sorry, but you got to go. It's not going to work. Kind of like what they told me, that they would have brought me in. However, their excuse for not hiring me was that I was, quote, too rock and roll, unquote. I was sort of flattered by that, really. As it turns out, it was a good thing I didn't get offered the job, because if it was, a good chance was I'd be fired right now, and this podcast wouldn't exist, Radio Memphis wouldn't be a thing, and or somebody else would have done something very similar and beat me to it. But you know, hey, that's all water under the bridge. I laugh and I giggle at this sort of thing, and trust me, it's not because I'm being morbid or anything like that, because it is awful when people lose their jobs. Steve's a smart guy. He'll find a way to get, you know, picked up somewhere. He's a talented fellow, very funny guy, and he'll figure it all out. But what happens when a radio station switches its formats like that, it is in hopes of trying to bring in another audience. And along the way, they try and forget everything about their past. All right, so the oldies station, before it was an oldies station, oddly enough, was at one point a country station. Froggy 94. The old froggy thing. That's where the jocks all have names that have something to do with being a frog. Or a toad. It's a gimmick, I suppose. That's the thing about show business. If you have a gimmick, if you can find a gimmick, you'll do pretty well. And I guess with having the old frog format, having that gimmick was all y'all being a bunch of frogs. Whatever works, my man. I guess whatever works. So they try this quote-unquote oldies format, and it turned out that they were competing in the classic rock vein with my old station that I'd worked for and its competition. And I felt that there was just no point in, because, you know, really, how many classic rock stations does one city need? You know, in this town, there's, I don't know, 34, 35, 40 stations, roughly. Fuck, I don't know. A lot of radio stations. The spectrum is filled. And Memphis is a city with a fairly diverse population. And what's amusing about this town, and at least as far as radio and as far as broadcasting goes, for some strange, bizarre reason, these broadcasters here have thought that it would be very important for us to have another sports station. Why the city of Memphis has five sports stations is beyond me. One of them is an ESPN affiliate. The other, I believe, is a Fox Sports affiliate. And then you have your other sports outlets that are happening. That's all. That's well and good. I mean, you know, if you think you can do something different. I mean, look, if the Yankees are playing the Red Sox, the outcome of the game is going to be spread across five different stations. Somebody's going to know the score. Oddly enough, I don't listen to any of those five stations. But in fact, I haven't really kicked on much terrestrial until the other day when I happened to be listening online to one of the stations. I'm not going to say who. One of the stations that is out there, and I was marveling at just how awful their online signal was. And I was really marveling at how awful their imaging was, and how their placement into their public eye was, and it was just, I don't know. I don't want to sound too much like some grumpy old guy that's not in that terrestrial world. I'm still in the business. I'm still in the radio business, and I can be as critical as I want to be. To my discerning ear, it is not the way I would have done it with some of these stations that I've heard. And it's certainly not a way that I would think a lot of people would really notice. But here's the thing, and what we're all having to deal with, and this might answer your questions as well. The one question, why does terrestrial radio suck so bad? Oh, it does. I'll agree with you on that. I go to a lot of places, and I meet a lot of people. And invariably, the question is always asked to me, what happened to FM radio? Well, I'll tell you kind of what happened to FM radio. It turned to shit. And the reason why it turned to shit was it got corporate involved, overly involved by corporate. And that's unfortunate. It's tragic. Greed came in. It took advantage of their clients that were giving them money for advertisement. And really messed up the whole scene. AM radio, of course, is, you know, those of you that are older that are listening to this would understand that, of course, AM radio has a history of playing music, too. Because it came along before FM. And now, of course, it's better suited for talk radio. Of course, most of what you hear is very politically motivated, politically driven in its conservative, I guess is the word to talk. You don't hear much liberalism out there, but there again, you know, a lot of the older demographic will always listen to that. That's all they know. And it's kind of hard to make that leap to a digital format like like an app-driven type scenario or an online type of station. That's just, you know, that's what the kids are into. I totally understand that. Now, when you're talking about the demise of FM radio, certainly at the hands of the internet, had a lot to do with it. And then, of course, you know, these companies that worked with them, that owned them, they didn't help themselves either. I've often said that this industry would be one of those industries where, like, a company like Clear Channel would have, without a doubt, the wherewithal, the full-on ability to just go ahead and rape the industry for everything that they could take out of it and then leave its bloodied corpse on the side of the information superhighway. As dated and stupid as that statement really is, I mean, you have to look beyond that. There's so much trouble that comes along with the industry, and when you put these suits in charge that don't understand what it's all about. They don't understand what it's like to try and entertain an audience because that's not what they're after. They don't give a shit. You can run polka music 24 hours a day as long as you can sell advertisement upon it. That's the key. And right now, it's very difficult to sell advertisement. I can tell you that firsthand. And if you go up and down the AM and FM dials, you'll hear the same things. The reason being is that far too often, major companies that had gotten involved in the broadcast business to try and make themselves somewhat relevant would squeeze every nickel they possibly could out of a potential client or an active client. And when that happened, these people got burned. The advertisement money is there. It's out there. It exists. The real trick is pairing up your audience to advertisement. That's the real trick to the business. So this is where it gets this fine line that you have to walk. If you flip a format of a radio station to, say, oldies over to country, well, then automatically you're running off all the people that really enjoyed the oldies, if you will, or classic rock. And now they're having to rebuild an audience out of nothing, really, on a whole different format because they believe that, in this particular instance, that country music would be the right format, particularly for the audience that they're trying to attract and skew. And then they're going to have to try and make that audience as big as they possibly can and in that process be able to sell advertisement against it. That's it in a nutshell. But here's the thing. To purge, if you will, purge your audience, you got to run all your talent out, obviously. And then on top of that, you've got to run jockless for a while. I know that's a funny word, jockless. I'm jockless right now. If you don't run any air talent, if you don't run any presenters, personalities, that sort of thing on your station for a while, that sort of purges your audience because then it's like, well, hey, they're here for the music for a bit. And then, you know, they'll play a deeper library. That's another little trick. They'll play all of these great tunes that you really like. Oh, my God, I haven't heard that in forever. I love it. Oh, this is great. It's my new favorite radio station. And here you are listening to it. And then the day comes when they finally put talent on it and they put these jocks on there. And at that very same moment, to distract you, they tighten up the playlist and they start playing the same shit over and over. so they don't have to pay so much in royalty fees. It's radio's dirty little trick. It's a dirty little secret. Let's find a way to fuck off of all of our listeners. Tragic as that may be, but that is certainly that's the truth, and that happens. And it'll happen with KQK. They'll go jockless for about 60 days, maybe 30 days, 60 days, maybe 90 days. And then you'll hear this buzz all around social media about, ooh, they're playing this song, and oh my God, I love this, and I haven't heard this in years. And this is awesome. I love this. And then they'll make some announcement. They'll have some big, heavy jock that's on the air, and they'll, you know, out there dragging in all these new listeners. And then just as things get really going and going good, then they start tightening up that playlist, and the listeners will start to complain a little bit, and they'll call in, and they'll say, hey, can you play that song? I heard you play it the other day. I'd like to hear it. And then if they happen to get a live human being on the phone, because who knows, their jocks may be in Cleveland. They won't be local, probably not. Maybe one or two shows might be, but the rest of them will be all canned ham. But if they do happen to get somebody in there and they make that request, they'll say, sure, it's coming up. It's coming right up, babe. And they'll never play it. And leave you listening, guessing, waiting. And then what happens after about, I don't know, 6 months? 6 to 9 months, because radio audiences are notoriously slow to react to these sort of things. They're going to sit there one day and go, you know what? This station really does kind of suck. But what other choices do I have? Because they all kind of suck. It's not that much fun to listen to the radio anymore because it's all the same. Clear Channel is primarily guilty of this. They're the ones that kind of created this stupid disaster. And it gets even worse because now that all the jocks are not even from here, those same jocks that you hear doing a midday show, for example, 10 to 2, they're doing the exact same thing for all of their other rock stations. And they try and localize it as best they can without saying your own call letters, which is really kind of silly, which is like, that's like the dumbest rule in radio that they, I mean, what's the biggest rule in radio that they broke, which is dumb. That's what I mean to say by that. Because they sit there and they say things like, well, be sure you punch the, you know, you're listening to Radio Memphis. Radio Memphis in, Radio Memphis out. But now what they do, because they're all these canned jocks, they refer to it as this station. The best station on the air is this station. Yeah, it's always this station. But God forbid, they start, you know, having... Why have more people to pay when you got one person that can come in and record the whole damn thing and they pay him one flat fee? So all of a sudden, your midday person doing 10 to 2 in Memphis is doing 10 to 2 in Oklahoma City, St. Louis, New Orleans, Nashville. Playing the same songs. Isn't it funny how that works? The identity of the radio station just disappeared. That's what's happening. So as a result of everything that is transpired, thanks to the internet and to digital and streaming technology, these corporations are really trying their best to figure out what is the best way to recoup and to recover from their damages. Their damages being, look, we're in a position here where, you know, internet radio is becoming a problem. The Pandoras that are out there. The Radio Memphis clones that are out there, the streamers, the talkers, the yappers, the format, the metal ones, the, you know, how do we get around that? Well, we get around that because we pay so much money for this damn transmitter and this stick that we're just going to play a hodgepodge of stuff and try and keep our expenses down by not having to pay these, you know, ridiculous BMI and ASCAP fees. It's so high of rates, so we cut our playlists down. And to save even more money, instead of having, you know, a local DJ, a jock, if you will, then they can just phone one in, and it doesn't cost the company, it doesn't cost the station anything, because the company's already paying this schmuck $20,000 a year. Yeah, that's about what they make. Oh, and why have an imaging guy to, you know, make your station, you know, yours? Because it's the whole point. You find a favorite radio station, it should feel like it is yours. It's a sense of ownership. It's my radio station. It's what I like to listen to, damn it. This is what I am going to hear. Radio Memphis is your station for Memphis and Mid-South music. We never refer to it as anything but that. We don't say things like, this is Radio Memphis. We say, we are Radio Memphis. Because it's a little trick. You know, there's a little something right out of my playbook. I showed you a little something hit up my sleeve. How about that? And the other stations that are listening to, the other people in this business that are listening to what I have to say right now, feel free to take that one and put that on the air, and I'll be interested to see if it comes back. Because I am amused at some of the things that I have said in the past all of a sudden showing up on other radio stations on another voice. I'm flattered. Knock yourselves out. You can copy all you want to, but you'll never duplicate what I've created. And that's just me being an arrogant dick. But it's also the truth. Or is it? Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. The only thing I've learned from my 14 years of working with Clear Channel is how not to run a radio station. Am I that successful? Yeah, sure. Nah, maybe not. I don't know. About 50-50, I guess. It's a learning process each and every day. But the one thing you cannot do, and this is the one thing I do know, and I'll hold anybody to task over this, is that you cannot, when it comes to dealing with your audience, okay, this is important. When it comes to dealing with your audience, you can never insult these people. I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying that you can't do that. You cannot actively go out and insult your listeners. You cannot do things like lie to your people. It's one thing to have a, you know, a little practical joke here and there, and oh, they pulled a fast one on everybody. Back in the old days, they used to do a lot of stuff. Stunting, as it was called. I mean, that's different. That's when everybody becomes the victim of a joke. Without it being too insulting, of course. You want it to be funny and cute and hilarious as best as you can. And look, if you don't have a sense of humor, don't act like you do. And certainly don't try and display it to everybody that may be listening to you. God, I heard a horrible sweeper. And it was on Clear Channel 2. And what was it? Something to the effect of, we have an idea. Let's put snowflakes in your salt shaker so when your food's too hot, you can cool it down. Thanks for the tip. I wanted to reach through the speakers and strangle the motherfucker who wrote that line and the other motherfucker who voiced it, which may have been one and the same. Ridiculous, stupid, insulting to anybody that might be listening. So, the great insult still happens. Terrestrial radio is a joke. A bad joke at that. And there's a little peek behind the curtain. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
There's a thing. There's, you know, we all do it. We have this mental image in our minds as to what we expect something to be like. I don't think God's hand is getting involved directly into either a podcast or anything like that, because if that was the case, this episode would certainly be a lot better than what you people are hearing right now. Not nearly as horrible is the simple fact that there's gonna be a part of you, and it's doing it right now. You're trying to suppress it in your own mind. And his last words to you are this: eat me. Hey, this is okay. I think I can do okay with it. And you're breathing with it in your mouth, and you're doing everything that a good, I guess, a sommelier is supposed to do. But when you go to swallow it, it fights you all the way down. It fights you all the way down. That's a good example of a preconceived notion gone horribly wrong.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
All right, on that note, I hope you guys have kind of understood something here. I know this is, and one of the things I've learned about doing these podcasts is that, well, first of all, it's a very intimate thing. I don't, it sounds kind of dirty, I know. Hey, baby, let's snuggle. Let me talk to you. Kind of dirty. No, it's not like that at all. Quite, or it can be. That would cost you extra. Here's the thing. One of the ideas that we have for Radioland is to increase it and to make it grow some, of course, is branching out in our content. We've talked about doing, having a lot more interviews, and we're trying to line some of that stuff up. We've been in the process, and what has slowed me down on a lot of this is that we're making a lot of big changes at Radio Memphis, and I can't really elaborate on it on much more than well, you just have to tune in to hear it. And it's some pretty big stuff, and we're real proud of that. So that has kept me kind of away from my duties here at Radioland and really wanted to do more. But it hasn't stopped me from sitting down every once in a while and devoting a little bit of brain power to expanding this show. And here's the idea that we were working on doing, and it was bringing in some pretty high-powered guests. Some people that you already know, and sitting down, I'd do an interview with them, and we would get into this rhythm that when you hear me solo, you'll get about a half an hour, depending on what I get into. And then when we've got somebody, when I have somebody with me that I'm on the air, you're going to get like an hour from me. But that's about it, okay? It's either 30 minutes with me solo or a full hour with me and a guest. And one of the ideas that I've always had, and here's something I'm sure somebody else will want to steal. Knock yourselves out. I want to be able to set up an evening, if you will, an evening from Radioland. Well, that sounds good. Hey, and since it's being posted on this podcast, it's therefore published. So go ahead and steal that, motherfucker. an evening from Radioland. And bring in a guest, and we'd sit up on a stage, and we would do this whole Q&A thing, and just do what we normally do, and have some fun. Set up a mic in the audience, and let you folks come up and ask a few questions. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, aside from the fact that there's an inherent expense that comes into this sort of thing. If I could live every day on love and passion, and run this whole business on it, I'd still be where I am right now. So we need to find a way to make it financially plausible to pull off, because there's equipment that has to come in, and then we have to deal with the venue and things like that. So I was thinking about, and I looked at various options, I was thinking about maybe selling tickets to it, right? You know, something as simple as that, you know, $5-$10, whatever. And we would, sell tickets to an event that people may or may not come to. Seems sort of silly. And it's a crapshoot. Instead of doing that, we've always wanted to make sure that it was free for our people, free for our fans to come and enjoy. So here's what we're working on doing, and this is where you might be able to get involved. We're actively seeking specific, very specific sponsorships for that type of podcast, an evening in Radioland, recorded live. We would never sell the podcast. In other words, it wouldn't be a premium thing that you'd have to pay extra, $5 to download the damn thing. It would be sponsored, and that would be pretty much the only show that we would sponsor. So if that tickles your fancy a little bit and you want to get your business in front of, where are we at, 50-something thousand subscribers? Internet-based business primarily is what we're looking for. If that's something that kind of turns your crank a little bit, shoot me an email or find me on Facebook, rickchetter@gmail.com. That's rickchetter@gmail.com. Drop me a line and see if this is something that you might want to do. Also, we're looking at a couple of venues that we need to see about putting this on. And if this works well, we would do these Evening from Radioland podcasts about once a month, which would be kind of cool. And if they do really, really well, we get a nice little turnout, I'll take it outside of Memphis every once in a while. We'll get on the road with it. We'll come see you. I know we have a lot of listeners on the West Coast, in California, San Francisco primarily. Hello, San Francisco. I don't know what it is about you folks that have found this show so entertaining, but I thank you so very much for it. I love that. Perhaps we can bring the show to you. We set up in a small venue. We can bring out maybe a local celebrity, if you will. Sit down and chat with them in front of a live audience and record the whole thing to share with the world. If this is something that you're interested in doing, let me know. You can contact me through various places. I mentioned my email address. Another place, which is actually the digital home of this podcast, that's where all the notes are. It's my blog page. rickcheddar.blogspot.com. I think there's a way to contact me there too. Find me, tell me what you think, if this is something that you'd like to do. In the meantime, tell everybody you know about this podcast. Share it through your social media. I would be greatly appreciative of it. And that'll be that. So there you go. So I'm going to wrap this one up. We'll see you next time. My name is Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.